This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. Beware,
I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Comic-Con 2010 edition of GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me is Hillary Goldstein.
What is up, folks?
And Greg Miller is here as well. We are just back from Comic-Con. Well, I guess most of us got back yesterday.
You're just back.
I guess I got back yesterday.
We'll get to that in
More on that in a bit. Hillary and Greg, you think this is the best Comic-Con ever?
This was the best Comic-Con we've ever gone to.
Since I've been an adult, yes.
Obviously. I'm not
going to. It was better when you were a kid?
It could have been when I was like 10 years old at Comic-Con. I grew up in San Diego, so I used to go to Comic-Con every year. And like, especially when I was a kid, I mean, kid prices, I think Comic-Con cost like $15 to go all four days.
And you're not paying any money. Your family is most likely. I don't know how your family was.
No, my family debate. And then when I was younger, I also used to volunteer. So if you volunteer for 2 hours a day or whatever like that, they let you have a pass to go in the rest of the day.
One of those people, huh? Walking around.
Yeah, one of those people walking around pretending like I knew what I was doing. Yeah, it was great. So maybe back then it was even better. Because I remember meeting the creator of Robotech. I thought that was pretty special.
Before we go any further, what are you holding in your hands?
I am holding the hockey stick for NHL Slapshot that Craig Harris, I believe, left down here, and I'm just pressing the buttons and making a mockery of it.
I've been watching Craig play that all day and laughing internally.
Yeah.
I love that the stick itself is this hard, painful-looking plastic, and then they made the actual, I don't know what you call this.
The dongle?
The part you slap somebody with.
Yeah, the blade. It's the blade.
Yeah, the blade, or whatever you want to call it, of the stick is like really soft and can't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But I could just turn this around and just beat the crap out of you with this. I could probably kill Damon with this thing. Not that I would ever want to.
Thank you. Jeez.
Not that I would ever want to.
So what made this year's Comic-Con so...
It was
the
right balance between work and fun. That was important. We had you.
We had the best editors go down.
That's true as well.
There you go. That's true.
We had you. We had Jack DeVries freelancing for us too. Mm-hmm. So you figure you have four IGN people there. There was a ton of video game panels. That's where the news was this time. Most of the games were old E3 builds, but there were a ton of actual video game panels that not necessarily were going to have something new to say, but you have to go there to find out, right? And so you figure we had times when we were all at the panels at the same time. We wouldn't have been able to do that beforehand.
The other thing is that of the new video game stuff, we had all that stuff early.
We did have a lot of exclusives.
Spider-Man was a big thing where they revealed the final world, which was Ultimate Spider-Man. Uh-huh. Greg got to play it ahead of time and had the exclusive on it. Mm-hmm. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, they revealed four new playable characters. I got to play that before Comic-Con, so that was already written up and ready to go when Comic-Con started. And Eric went off to Bungie to play all the Halo stuff early. So,
yes.
You know, like when I'm at the Halo panel and they're revealing the new Forge world.
You're going, ugh. I read IGN old.
Yeah, old. Oh, IGN already just posted this the minute this panel ends. Duh. I've already seen 3 hours of footage we've captured. Blah, blah. It was technically, it's new, but, yeah. You know, we're a little spoiled, so it's old for us.
So we'll run down, we'll give a day-by-day recap of all of our adventures at Comic-Con. Starting on Wednesday, right after I arrived in San Diego, I went to see Hydrophobia.
Well, before you even start, I was going to say, maybe we should talk about... from begin the day that we all pre-registered for Comic-Con and take every
yeah,
day
I agree.
Leading up to that.
Yes, okay. That's good. Hydrophobia is an upcoming XBLA game that's looking really good. This is a third-person adventure with elements of Tomb Raider and Resident Evil.
Nice.
It stars a woman, I think her name is Kate. She. It takes place in the future, and she works on this like underground
city. If it started man, would you remember his name?
Yeah.
That's how sexist of me, isn't it? She works in this like underground city in the future, and terrorists take over. The world has become overpopulated, and there's this terrorist organization who believes the population has to be culled. Their motto is save the world, kill yourself. What's up, Tyrus?
Tyrus,
it went very well. I'll tell you all about it. Yeah.
We're going to get to that.
We're getting to that.
Yeah. Hold your horse. We should have time on this.
Yeah, well, he's busy.
He's gone. No.
He's busy.
It would become
he's
got to
go
filthy.
Drink some muscle milk and do some crunches.
So terrorists take over this vessel, and Kate, she's not a soldier, she's an engineer. And
she's probably frightened of water.
She is. She has a water phobia.
She shouldn't be working in the water.
So she, you know, since the terrorists have caused destruction, the vessel is slowly flooding. It has very impressive water physics, some really cool water stuff going on there, especially for an XBLA game. You'll open a door to a room that's been flooded, and the water will flow into the next room. It looks very realistic. It's very cool.
So it's ripping off Titanic.
Basically, yeah. Throughout the course of the game, she starts out with her fear of water. Eventually, she'll overcome her fear. Eventually, towards the end of the game, she'll learn to wield the water herself.
Oh, no, what? She's a water witch.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, that one's coming out later this year, and it's looking very promising. We have a bunch of direct feed video up on it on the site in that preview, so check that out. But then we went to preview.
Man, I had an awesome joke, but we're family content.
Yeah, we are family content.
Okay.
What's next? Preview night.
It's preview night.
So that's when they let us, some people in early. It was still just as crowded, though, I have to say.
Not as crowded.
It was really crowded.
Yeah.
It was crowded.
Hillary, you want to explain preview night to somebody if they didn't know?
Yeah, so Comic-Con lasts for 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. You can buy a ticket just for one day, so you can be like, I'm just going on Saturday. I just want to see whatever, the Avengers
panel.
Yeah, the Greg Miller panel. Or most people, a lot of people buy a 4-day pass.
I want to see all the Greg Miller panels.
I want to see everything Greg Miller has to offer. And if you buy a 4-day pass, the bonus is that you get to go into preview night, which lasts from like, I think like 6 to 9.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
But the difference is that even though there are technically less people there, there are no panels, there's no parties, there's basically nothing but walking the show floor. So even though there are less people at Comic-Con on Wednesday, they only have one place to go, so it actually gets as crowded as it does on the other days.
The reason everyone wants to go to it too is because anything that's exclusive is going to be out by the end of preview night. If they have exclusive toys there, exclusive figures, some kind of giveaway, you want to get there that night as soon as you can to get it right away.
Speaking of exclusives, IGN had exclusive T-shirts.
We did. We ran out of those pretty quick.
We're out of those now. There are none of those left.
I heard there's some back. There's a bunch of boxes upstairs that look like them.
Hmm.
We gave away all of ours.
Yeah.
The ones that were given to us three were distributed. Gone.
Those are very cool. If we have any more, we should get those to the listeners.
Agreed.
Yeah, and the T-shirts were basically like famous comic book character symbols, but with the IGN logo mixed in. So we had Captain America,
Green Lantern,
Iron Man, and then we had Boba Fett.
The Fett Man. No matter how sure I am, I never bet the Fett Man.
Yeah. And there's a debate whether that was pre or post Sarlacc Pit. But then we realized nobody cares.
Yeah, that's true. So what did you see on preview night on the show floor that was of note? That was new, maybe.
Oh, I saw this really hot girl dressed as a pirate.
That was new.
I've heard about this all week. All week I've had to hear about
She's so gorgeous. She was beautiful.
So beautiful, Hillary could not take a photo of her. He was fumbling with his camera.
And then the other amazing thing that I did see on preview night that I loved was that I went by the Microsoft booth, which was like a complete madhouse because they have – so booth size is based like on like how long you've been coming to Comic-Con. So like Microsoft's only been going to Comic-Con for a couple of years. So in the games area, they get like the smallest booth possible, right? And for some reason, they decided to cram like four games in there. And in the very back corner is like you could just see a little sign that said Halo Reach. So there was just a mad crowd all pushing, trying to play Halo Reach. So much so that the Bungie guys actually like left and were just like standing outside being like, I can't control this. But so Brian Gerard, who's the community manager over at Bungie, I was standing there talking with him, and this woman comes up with a little kid. She's like, you make those Halo games? And Brian Gerard's like, I do make those Halo games. Yes, I do. And she tried to get her son to ask a question, but he just sort of shied away. So then she decided she would ask her own question.
Her son was like 24.
her son was like 7 years old, 7-8 years old. And she pokes Brian Gerard in the chest, and she goes, that recon armor. She's like, you ruined my life with that recon armor. All those nights he spent trying to get all those achievements and do all those things he needed to do to get the recon armor. It drove me crazy. You made my life a living hell. It's like, I can't stand your game because of it.
Jeez.
And so he apologized, and then she said, now if I am nice and I decide to spend some money on him and buy him the extra expensive edition of Halo Reach, will he have to get extra achievements in order to unlock the armor, or will he just get it right away? And Brian Gerard said, oh, no, we learned our lesson. If you buy the legendary edition, you get everything right off the bat. And she said, good. And then she looked down at her kid and she said, maybe I'll spend the money on you.
Man, she's a monster.
It was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was a great moment.
That's what breeds serial killers.
Yes.
It's mothers
like that.
Nurture, not nature.
Did we do anything Wednesday night after we...
We're getting there. Jeez, Hillary.
We went to the
Maybe
Marble.
Maybe you should have noticed. I wasn't with you the whole time you were at preview night.
Oh, that's right. That's because Damon and I kept going, man, this is so nice without Greg around.
I'm sure that's what you said.
Well, it's really quiet. I can actually hear myself think. No, you're missed every second you're away.
Shut your face.
Before I want to hear about your preview night, but first I want to mention that Dead Rising Case Zero.
Oh yeah, that's right. Played it and beat it
on the show floor. I played it and beat it in 25 minutes.
I thought that was a great experience where you and I were like, we'll both go separate and play our games. Mm-hmm. And after like a half an hour, Damon texts me like, I'm done. He comes back and I'm like, well, what'd you see? He's like, Case Zero. That's what it did. I played that for 25 minutes and beat it. And I'm like, oh.
So, like we said, not a lot of new game stuff to see.
What's going on with Case Zero? Talk to me a little about it.
So, it's a downloadable episode that's going to be available before Dead Rising 2 comes out. Uh-huh. And it's essentially another level of Dead Rising 2. It's a prequel, right? Yeah, it takes place right before the game starts, kind of sets up everything that's going on in Dead Rising 2.
Prequel?
Yeah, but it's not like Dark Void Zero, which was a downloadable DSiWare game. It was Dark Void in an 8-bit style. It's not like that. This is just straight Dead Rising 2 gameplay, another level of it. Yes?
It was short, obviously.
Yes.
25 minutes isn't very long. Mm-hmm. What price point do they need to put on that to not make you mad?
It should not be over $5.
How much? I don't understand your crazy conversion rate. Talking Microsoft points.
Yeah, I know.
The one benefit, right, is you were saying that all of your stats do carry over when you start the game. Is that right?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. You're missing the point here. I was at a panel. I know the answers to these questions.
Okay.
How many points is good for you?
What? Zero. I'd say if you pre-order the game, you should get
it for
free.
That's
400 points is how much that's going to cost.
That's five bucks.
Your content will carry over.
Okay,
so the number of zombies you kill, the leveling up you do
will carry over. So in case you didn't play Dead Rising, you have a zombie kill count in the bottom right corner of the screen. Mm-hmm. So every zombie that you kill, that keeps going up and up. So now you'll be able to download this early, get an early head start on your kill count there. I still say you should get
it for free if you pre-order.
You really should. I mean, that basically like ups the price of the game to $65 when it's just another level. It's like the game is $60. You want to play one more level, now it's $65. That's kind of bullcrap, you know. But anyway,
it's your choice though to eat the bullcrap.
Your choice.
What if they priced out games that way, where they're like, you can buy the $30 version of the game, or you can add an extra two levels for the $40 version of the game, or you could see the ending for the $60 version of the game.
That's true. I could see Activision, EA doing something like that. Anyway, in the game, you're arriving at a gas station. The zombie outbreak has already happened. You pull over in a gas station with your daughter. It's the hero from Dead Rising 2. I don't know his name.
His name is Chuck.
Is it really?
Yep.
Okay. But your daughter's been bitten, so she needs regular injections of Zombrex, which is not a cure, but it will hold off the transformation
into
zombie.
Or you need to learn to cut your emotional ties.
That's true. You know, I mean, she's dead weight.
Turn the gun.
Literally, she's dead weight.
She needs that injection every 12 hours. So, and
that seems like a lot.
I know.
12 hours.
Yeah.
She's going to become better addicted. Zombrex made out here.
Wait, is she going to have to need that injection every 12 hours for the rest of her life?
Until
they can find the actual cure, yeah. But, you know, in case you didn't play Dead Rising again, there's a running... time is always ticking, so yeah. Everything happens. It's in accelerated time, but so... So you stop off this gas station to find supplies. Somebody steals your truck.
Mother effers.
Jerks of the arcs. You just... People these days. So now you've got to find another Zombrex injection for your daughter and then find a way to get out of town. That's what you do in Case Zero. And then that will lead right into Dead Rising 2.
I have bad news.
What?
It's not Comic-Con. It's kind of, because I'm making all the jump off of this.
Uh-huh.
Last night I watched Return of the Living Dead Part... Return of the Living Dead Part 2, because remember how big of fans we are of Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, yes. Oh,
this
yeah.
one was terrible. And it's the same characters, actors,
yeah.
different characters, saying some of the same lines. It's kind of the same thing, but it's like a comedy. It's all these kids. It's
the first one was a comedy.
Not like this one. This one was a different one.
Does the girl take off all of her clothes?
No, it's like it's got a bunch of like 11-year-olds in it. Like it's a kid movie. Like it's like for kids to play around with.
That's weird. Is there gore in it?
Not really. She punches through a zombie head at one point, but it's way more.
Is the Tara zombie guy the brains guy?
There is a
really,
but he looks way worse. It's a different guy. They're like, there's no production behind this one. They're an embarrassment to their name.
All right. Well, while Hill and I were walking the show floor on preview night, you were at the Activision preview event.
I was, and it was embargoed, and that means that I was able to drink beer and have fun and not have to run home and write right away, which I hate doing.
That's the way to do it, publishers, PR folks who are listening.
Yeah.
Always embargo your events.
Also, Mr. Anderson, who's a wrestler in TNA, showed up, formerly Mr. Kennedy in WWE. I have no idea why he was there. I asked around. Nobody had heard anything about a TNA game through Activision.
Did he get married the different leagues?
You know... WWE, once you go there, you sign away your life. So they stole the name Mr. Kennedy. Vince McMahon owns Mr. Kennedy. So when Mr. Kennedy leaves, he has to give up his name and powers. It is. It'll tear families apart.
It was like the subplot to Shadow Man.
Yes, sure was. While I was there, they showed more Spider-Man, but I'd already seen it. You already had the exclusive. I'm excited for that game. I thought, you know, when they first announced it, I wasn't super sold on it. I didn't like the idea. Mm-hmm. I like story in my comic book games. I like to be Peter Parker, or at least see Peter Parker interacting, you know what I mean? Have that... kind of it be grounded in a thing.
Doogie Howser is doing a voice in there.
Doogie Howser is. They're bringing back many Spider-Men from the past.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So the basic storyline, right, is that somebody has somehow fractured the dimensions
and you got to hop
between them?
Exactly. No, you don't hop between them. The Mysterio in the regular old Amazing Spider-Man universe you'd expect, Spider-Man swings in while Mysterio is trying to steal the Tablet of Order and Chaos.
Okay.
It gets broken in a fight, which then shatters this... Tablet, it flies off into the different dimensions, and the villains there get it, and they get pieces of it, and they get more powerful. So Madame Web shows up, as you know. You remember Madame Web from the cartoon is what cemented her for me, but she's in the books as well. And this, she tells Spider-Man of what's happening, pretty much, that she's already reached out to the other Spider-Man in the other dimensions, and they're going to help. They actually have a really cool interchange, because she shows up, and there's a giant web behind her showing all the other fractured Spider-Men. But Spider-Men who aren't in the game, Spider-Girl is there, like she's showing every dimension possible. And Spider-Ham is there as well.
What? Spider-Ham is there?
Yeah, just an image of him. So she's giving...
Now you remember, Greg, that when we were first talking about... When they first told us... They showed the first two universes, and they said it was 2099 and Amazing.
Uh-huh.
And we were like...
Noir
and Amazing, sorry. And we were like, what could the other ones be? I said, if it's Spider-Ham, this game is getting a 10.
It isn't. He's just an image. Just an image in the web.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I was very excited about the possibility. Spider-Ham,
yes.
Back in the day, in the 80s.
You may be shocked to know that I collected Spider-Ham.
What?
Back in the day.
Wow, when I was a kid.
Peter Parker, Spider-Ham?
Yeah. I used to read comics. Back when I was a kid.
When I was in elementary school, Spider-Ham was out, Peter Parker, the Amazing Spider-Ham. And so my friends and I, we just made joke comic books about our favorite Marvel characters. So we had the Incredible Sulk, who just walked...
He sulked around.
Every time that I can't remember what we named Bruce Banner, but every time he got sad, he turned into a giant lumbering sulk. And he'd just walk around, like, knocking into people, being really depressed. And he was like... he kind of was colored like Eeyore. And then we had my favorite one, though, which was... remember the show Double Dare?
Oh, yeah.
Mark Summers. So he was one of the Summers brothers, you know, the Cyclops, Havoc. They had another brother, Mark Summers, and he was a Double Daredevil. He was a TV show host by day.
Yeah, yeah.
Double Daredevil by night.
That's impressive. Yeah. That one's good.
Yeah, thank you. Right. That's a keeper.
Well, anyways, Madam Web's laying all this stuff on the ground.
I'm going to say right now, if you would like to draw a pic... I'm sorry, Greg.
Come on, let me just spit out one thing. The story doesn't make sense anymore. F it. I'm going back upstairs.
I was just saying, if somebody wants to draw a picture of Double Daredevil, we will hang it up on our wall.
Yes. Make sure it says GameScoop on it.
Yes. Go ahead, Greg. Yeah. Madam Web does something.
No, we're done now. Now we'll move on to the other games we saw there.
No.
What about GoldenEye?
GoldenEye was there. I played that. That didn't do it for me. We've come much further than this. Mm. It didn't look that great. It was, you know... It felt like GoldenEye. I mean, people loved GoldenEye, and I loved GoldenEye when I played it.
That's not enough anymore.
No, it didn't do anything for me. I didn't like the environments. The aiming didn't feel satisfying. Shooting people didn't feel satisfying. You know, there was no real nothing to it.
Hmm. They put out Call of Duty and Halo and Killzone and Resistance.
Yeah, things have happened.
Seems to have happened since GoldenEye
1996.
Came out. Yeah.
And then the new James Bond game, Bloodstone, was there as well. That one's undercooked at the moment. I don't know if it'll turn out for November.
For people who don't know like the story behind that, can you explain what it is?
What's happening in the game? They were making a movie, right?
They were
going to do... The movie got canned, but I mean, the movie wasn't going to be Bloodstone, but this was kind of leading into it or something. I don't know. I don't follow James Bond. I think he's boring. So I was a bad guy to explain this.
You don't like any James Bond movies?
Nope. I've only seen...
I've never seen one, but I don't like any James Bond movies.
Well, no, I mean, I've tried them. I don't know. I think I saw through... I don't remember any of them for sure, but I think I've seen a bit of GoldenEye. I saw some of the one where he ends, oh, I thought Christmas only came once a year. I've seen that
Which
one.
Which one's that one?
It was one of the Pierce Brosnan's.
That's a Pierce Brosnan one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one with... What's her name? Who was married to Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, yeah. Denise
can't
Richards.
Act.
Denise
they
Richards.
Tried to pass her off as being a brilliant scientist that he had to save.
What? So you didn't see any of the
Sean Connery
ones?
I like Sean Connery a lot. But well,
watch those James Bond movies. Those are great.
Those ones are amazing.
He seems kind of boring.
No.
Jeez.
They were awesome.
All right.
So after your preview event and our preview event, we met up.
We did.
We went to Marble Kitchen?
Marble Room, I think.
Marble Room, is that what it was?
Yeah.
San Diego?
The Marble Room, yeah.
There were nudie pictures on the wall and a reverse porno playing on TV.
Explain the amazing reverse porno.
This is like a 60s porn, I don't know, maybe late 50s.
Betty Page.
Yeah, well, a woman was naked, and then Betty Page helped her get dressed.
Betty Page was dressed as the maid.
Yeah, she was a maid helping this woman get dressed. It took a long time,
like
a half hour or something. So yeah, I figured that's porn in reverse, getting a naked girl putting her clothes on.
All the waitresses walk around in corsets and underwear.
Mm-hmm. True. That's something about San Diego that I know, is that every restaurant there has a real super hot girl outside to wrangle people in.
Yeah.
That just seems to be their MO.
The waitresses are good looking, generally.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Lots of attractive ladies in San Diego.
We'll get to that later, though.
So, how many times did the KC panty drop work?
KCPD.
Once was enough for me. I've turned out that's all I can handle. All right, we're on Thursday now. Now, that's today. We had a bunch of panels.
Yeah,
I didn't have any notable panels that day. Did you guys?
I hosted the infamous 2-1, mm-hmm. or the infamous one, where they let me debut the news that they're moving back to the old Cole, or a more. A main character in Infamous 2 who looks more like the original Cole. They aren't ready to give out screenshots or have me talk about details, but being how crushed I was at the new douchey-looking Infamous 2 Cole, I was very happy with this one.
So you take full responsibility for the change back?
Yeah, pretty much. I think everyone admits that. You know what I mean? I've seen all the other side, the Kotakos, they picked it up. They know. Hmm. They know I did it.
Hmm.
I've been Harold. There was a tipper take. Damn it. I just move on. I need more coffee.
You're drinking clear coffee out of a giant blue.
I'm saying I need coffee. I didn't say I have coffee.
Yeah. All right. Hill, any notable Thursday panels?
No, I think the evening was amazing.
The evening was amazing.
We should say that IGN had like the IGN Oasis during the day that we did go to, which was pretty cool, which was like...
That's where they were giving out the t-shirts there.
Yep.
And then you can enter a chance to win tickets to our party.
Yep.
Which I never met any of those winners there. I assume they were there. I don't know.
I thought it was the porn stars that showed up.
Yeah, I was to see that. IGN's party was Thursday night. Great party. Rooftop party at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah. Right? There were like four other parties in the same hotel.
Yeah, Capcom was having a party there where Big Boy played. We could watch, we could look over the fence and Big Boy was playing at Capcom party next door.
G4 had a party there, Microsoft, PlayStation, but everybody says we had the best party.
Yeah. Right. I think we did.
We had the Expendables there?
Yeah, so we were giving Sly Stallone, we inducted him as our first entry into our Action Hero Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he got up there and accepted the award.
You can go visit Pittsburgh.
Sly Stallone was there. It's like several cast members of the Expendables were there.
Dolph Lundgren, right?
Yes, he was there. Steve Austin.
Terry Crews.
Yeah. Pauly Shore was there.
The Vampire King from True Blood was there.
Yes. Yeah. He was cool.
The redhead girl who was on Forgetting Sarah Marshall was there.
Wait,
the newlywed, the newlywed girl.
Oh, really?
She's also been on 30 Rock.
And Eric's, on True Blood, Eric's disciple.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name?
The blonde girl.
Yeah. She was there. She was there?
Yeah, she was there.
See her.
She was only there for like 2 seconds.
I saw her, yeah.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
But later that night, that's when you guys were getting pizza late night and someone tried to sell you a TV.
Yes. Wait, are you saying this like you weren't there?
I wasn't there.
Remember, he'd already gone home. He'd left us. I started playing Peace Walker with other people. At the G4 party, it's filled with celebrities. It's bopping.
Seth Green was there.
Me and three other people just start playing Peace Walker in the middle of like a place where you should be walking through. It was the most cool thing of all time.
Okay. But do you want to tell you? You've been wanting to tell your TV story. Now you act like you don't want to tell it.
No, I do want to tell my TV story. So
just threw him by saying you weren't there.
No, so what happened was that we sort of separated because there were so many parties going on. I went over to see what was happening at the Microsoft party where I met my friend Rick, who is the star of Step Up 3D, which comes out next week.
Nice.
So he said he was actually going to call in to GameScoop if we want, but he would do it in 3D,
which should
be interesting.
I'm still working on getting his co-star up here, so we'll see what happens there. All right.
Maybe I can work some magic.
Okay, good.
Get her to play Dance Central. Dance Central with us.
And then what were we talking about?
You're getting to the TV station.
Oh, yeah. So then Greg and I, Damon had already gone back, and Greg said, oh, I'm getting pizza, and I'm drunk. And so I found him. It was this nice little – it's this really cool little pizza shop where you basically buy by the slice, and then everybody just hangs out on the street.
Yep,
it was kind of nice. It felt different than any San Diego joint. It was sort of like an East Coast kind of thing where people were just hanging out like a community.
We're having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Talking
we're
to new people, meeting things.
Guy comes up. He's cradling a 13-inch CRT, and he just goes, "TV, $20," and I go, "No, that's a little bit out of my price range." $10.
Well, he got it down in half.
He dropped it down real fast. I was like, "Dude, that's too much." $8. Like, no, I'm not going to pay you $8. $7. Like, dude, it's not worth $7. $8. Logic was like $8, $7, $8. I really wanted to get him down to $5. I had $5 in my pocket. I would have given him $5, taken the TV and just dropped it and walked away. But then he tried to pull shenanigans. I thought maybe thought it was a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, where it's like, you know, you do like...
Did Bugs Bunny try to sell a bunch of
TVs?
Yes.
Well, you just switch up the answer so that the person says what you want to hear. You trick them.
Okay.
But then so I turned away, and then he kept... But then he kept coming, and he was just like, eight, please, eight.
Yeah, he started doing it to everybody else.
Oh, sounds really pathetic.
I bet him $20 he couldn't sell it.
Yeah, and then that's when I thought about buying it. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't have paid. I would have used my quick wit.
We gave that one homeless guy a Green Lantern shirt, remember?
Yeah, and he put it on immediately.
he was into it.
Yeah, IGN shirts were everywhere. You ran into another homeless guy wearing it. I saw plenty of the pedicabs wearing it.
We'll save that story for Sunday.
All right, so that was our Thursday then.
It was a great way to start off Comic-Con.
Yeah,
the first official day.
Then Friday, I had a Dead Space panel. Found out some interesting information about what can happen in Dead Space 2. Nicole is the strange woman you spend all of Dead Space searching for, and it's unclear whether or not she's your wife or your girlfriend. There seems to be.
I thought it was clear that she was your girlfriend.
Is it? So they're not married?
No, I don't, yeah. I don't they're living in sin.
Okay.
Don't be so judgmental, Damon. So they're not married?
Well, I'm not being judgmental. and then spoilers. We're gonna spoil the end of Dead Space right now. So
Dead Space 1.
Dead Space, the first one right now.
Okay. Damon also beat Dead Space 2 standing there at a demo kiosk.
So skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want to know the ending of Dead Space 1. So you spend the whole game looking for Nicole, and then at the end of Dead Space, destroy the giant monster of the hive mind and replace the artifact, and you're making your escape, and Isaac Clarke settles down in his escape pod, and he's like, breathes a sigh of relief, that's over. And he turns around and like Necromorph Nicole is there in his escape pod. Yeah. Lurch jumps up at him, and that's the end of the game. Cut to black. So now Dead Space 2 is coming out early next year.
Yeah.
And we know that Nicole is involved. In the trailer, we can like hear her talking to Isaac. It's unclear whether she's in his head. Is she real or is she not real? You know, that's kind of all up in the air. But now we know that Nicole can kill Isaac in Dead Space 2.
What?
Yeah. They showed during the Dead Space 2 panel, they showed some mocap footage of the actor playing Isaac and the actor playing Nicole.
She actually killed the actor?
Yeah. It was hardcore. That's how serious they take this stuff. She was holding Isaac up. She had him by the neck, and she's like interrogating him, like, who am I? Am I a figment of your imagination? Am I a manifestation?
Was she asking the questions as if she didn't know? Or
That's what's unclear. Is she interrogating him? Like, she's really trying to find out? Or is she leading him on? She says, like, you know I'm dead, and you can't get over it. But then Isaac says, you can't hurt me. And she says something like, you're wrong. And then she snaps his neck. And he falls down. The actor fell down dead. And then the developers, guys at Visceral Games, said that was actually a quick time event. So if you mash the whatever X button fast enough, you'll save him.
And then,
break free. Go on. So I thought that was very interesting that now that, that Nicole, I mean, like, what could it possibly be? Nicole is not alive. I don't think.
Is she? Maybe she's been cloned. It's a dream.
Even if she's a human. Like, she can't like pick Isaac up by the throat and snap his neck.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we not do that as humans?
Yeah.
What if she's a necromorph?
But then she would be like a crazy monster zombie thing.
Maybe she has like the abilities of a necromorph.
Maybe you're just confusing her with a regular girlfriend.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe Isaac is hallucinating and it's somebody else that's holding him up and he thinks it's her. You know.
I kind of wanted, when Dead Space 1 was happening, I kind of was hoping that you would get to a point where you just find out he's crazy and he's been going around killing everybody and they're just humans.
That would be
like, he just went like insane in space.
Yeah.
And like you see something. Oh,
Mr. Glick,
that...
no!
Ooh, you're all horrible monsters. They're like,
That could be good. All right, what did you guys see on Friday?
I don't recall.
Nothing of note? Okay, that's fine.
I don't know. It's possible.
We have an amazing...
I remember Friday night.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to.
Yeah, well, before Friday night happened, I went and saw Scott Pilgrim.
Yep. Well, yeah. Well, we all saw Scott Pilgrim. Should we go ahead and talk about it now since you...
We saw it on Saturday.
Yeah, we saw the following night. But yeah, you saw first.
And you skipped out on the fans who gave you everything.
I did go see the fans. I want to talk about.
Yeah.
All right,
well, they didn't give me free tickets to see Scott Pilgrim, now did they?
We all saw Scott Pilgrim, and we all loved it.
Yeah, great.
Yes, it's very good.
It's phenomenal. Greg and Hillary have both read the comics, and they loved it. I have not read the comics, and I loved it. So it will appeal to everybody, I believe.
Greg liked the comics more than...
I did like the comics
the movie.
More.
I liked the movie more than the comics.
Why did you... I mean, being spoiler-free.
I like to say that it feels like we're having a chocolate peanut butter cup
debate. Yeah.
I like the peanut butter more than the chocolate.
Yeah.
But they're both great.
So what
for me, I did not love the ending of the second half of book 6 that much. I just thought it was really convoluted and kind of dumb.
Well, I didn't like the ending of the movie that much.
I think that movie actually had like a nice emotional ending. I never liked Knives very much in the books.
And she's amazing in the movie.
I liked her a lot.
She is the perfect girlfriend in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know if I got that far, but I like her. I understand your point that you don't like it. You don't like you didn't like Scott that much in the movie, right?
I think the character... I like Ramona that much in the movie. I think both their characters are like so Ramona fleshed out in the book that it's easier to feel for them and root for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the movie, you're kind of like, well, she's being a bitch and he's dumb. Like,
yeah.
and I'm... generalizing. The movies are great.
The movie is absolutely... But I agree.
Standing
like,
right behind you.
No, Ramona!
Yeah, neither Ramona or Scott Pilgrim are very likable in the movie, I didn't think.
Yeah, I agree. But I think just for the movie's sake, it's just like... It's so visually interesting funny.
It's
like,
funny.
I think, especially considering that, I mean, almost every comedy is like, oh, I'm going to be offensive or have gross out stuff or just have dumb jokes. Like, it was just really smart. It actually, like, never relies on, like, sort of the basic kind of dumb humor kind of that we've gotten used to. And I just thought, like, there are parts of it that are such a nice nod to both the comics and to video games. I mean, it was just like, it was so much fun to watch. And I haven't laughed that much in a really long time.
Yeah.
I mean, much funnier than like even The Hangover. Like, I just couldn't, I mean, there were just parts where people were laughing and cheering and stuff.
Yeah,
I
look forward to seeing it again and even on DVD when I can hear everything. Because people were clapping and yelling so much.
Yeah. I missed stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's Edgar Wright. Like, this is the guy that did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Those are hilarious movies. So he's really good with the comedy stuff. But even this the movie premiere itself was a lot of fun. When you got into the theater, they gave you popcorn.
By the way, can I tell a quick Edgar Wright story? So on Saturday, sorry to jump to Saturday, I got to talk to Edgar Wright about the movie, which is cool. And he was talking about games, and he said that a gaming experience actually inspired Shaun of the Dead. because apparently he, I think he'd been saying he was playing Resident Evil 3 for like 10 hours straight, and he basically played it all night, and he went across the street to go get some food, and he said that basically his like slow zombie stumble across the street to get food was like what put in his mind Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like he said that was like the genesis of basically was like that idea of people just sort of like sort of being zombied out in life. So that's kind of
nice.
Cool.
Very pleasant surprise for me when we arrived in the theater. I found one of my favorite DJs DJing for us while we waited for the movie to start. Kid Koala was up there. It was great.
I believe his name is DJ Koala Bear.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I should always...
He's so huggable.
So Friday night, we had our IGN meet and greet.
Yeah, we did.
With the fans.
Yeah.
Phenomenal success.
So thanks so much for everybody who came.
Gosh, thank you so much. You guys are so
85,
cool.
85, we're guessing. More than 80 for sure.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
The
y'all paid.
People.
That was the thing important. This was not sponsored by IGN. If you came, you had to shell out your money. You all did. Everybody
was great. In case you're wondering, we did not get stiff for the bill at the end. Everything was perfect. It was awesome.
It was amazing. Thanks.
It was held at Dick's Last Resort. I don't know if I'd want to do it there again. Greg says it's fine.
I thought, for what we were doing, I thought it was good.
I feel like it was too much hassle dealing with the employees there.
Really? Their shtick is being jerks.
I know, but they were even beyond that. They were just being difficult for us to hang out there.
I think it was one of the more spacious areas.
That's true.
Like if we had 80 people show up to a small bar, that's one of the only open air places too to hang out. I don't know. I think it would have been a disaster, and people wouldn't be able to even move.
I guess we would have to call ahead and demand a reservation this time, because I know you called and they said no, but then they were telling us while we were there that we should have made a reservation.
Yeah.
So we have to explain. We'll remind them that it was us last year.
Well, we don't have to go there again.
Mark, the crazy manager, I'm sure will remember us.
Who knows if they're going to have another Comic-Con?
Yeah, that's true. If there's another Comic-Con,
people get stabbed in the face. Yeah,
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
So we all got really drunk, and I took off my shirt when Damon told me to.
Yeah. Which ended up
Hillary took a photo of the girl on my lap.
Epic photograph. We have to give a special shout out to GameScoop superfan Devin Sneathan and Lisa for coming down. They flew down not even to go to Comic-Con. They just flew down there for our meet and greet.
Are you prepared to make the statement you were saying you were going to make?
I think you should.
I don't think so.
I think you should.
I don't want to make the guy feel bad.
No, without the liquor in it, he comes down a bit.
Oh, this is what we were talking about. You know, I'm an open guy. All I have to say is Matt Jones, you know, overlord of the super fans. You know, you might have to step up your game a little bit. So.
He was ready to dethrone you, Matt Jones.
I was not ready.
I want you to know. The knife is dangling above your head, Matt Jones.
I was not ready to dethrone you. I was just saying, man, this is amazing. This guy flew down here just for the IGN meet and greet. And to his credit, Devin Sneathan was like, oh, no, I could never take that away from Matt Jones. He is overlord of the super fans.
Yeah, that's what he says. He would snatch it up in a second. I can see his eyes. He's hungry. Also, we should point out, too, in his... Not at all to take away from his thing. Devin is a flight attendant.
That's true.
So it is
very
easy.
He also has, it's easy for him to fly
around.
Devin
owns a corgi who's very cute, so I'd say that gives him another plus.
I see.
Yeah.
We're back and forth on this one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a tough call.
Very cool to see him.
I'd say it's neck and neck.
Very cool to see all the fans that came out. You guys are so awesome. It was great.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of fun meeting everybody, taking pictures, giving people shirts.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast.
We went back too and got more pizza that night too.
Yes, and that was a mistake.
Greg
suffered.
Ejected the pizza from his body at 6 in the morning.
So, yeah, I was the hangover got a little earlier than I thought it would. But yeah, I was not in good shape.
Oh, yeah, I was hungover multiple mornings during Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
It means you lived right.
Yeah. Now we're at Saturday and we had to go back to the show and do more panels.
Who would have thunk?
I went to a huge panel. There was a huge announcement at the Capcom Street Fighter panel. They announced Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Street Fighter vs. Tekken.
Yeah, that's what it's basically. Street Fighter vs. Tekken. I'm sure for legal reasons they didn't want, or each company didn't want to say it's versus.
Did we see Walking Dead on Friday?
Oh,
did we skip it? I think we did.
You did.
We went and saw Walking Dead on Friday, and it was awesome.
We saw the Walking Dead TV show. We saw like a 3-minute trailer. It looks amazing. Now we'll go back to Saturday.
Okay.
Wait, one more. While we were in line, I played PSP Peace Walker, and it was great with some fans. It was really cool. They all find us on Twitter. Back to normal.
All right, so Street Fighter Cross Tekken is coming to Xbox 360 and PS3. Probably next year, but it's a ways off. I thought that was amazing. That's a huge announcement to make.
That's major.
And it's cool that they did that for the fans, you know? Like, they didn't call... Like, I was just there, you know?
You're eating a piece of cake in the back?
What I'm saying is that at Comic-Con, press do not get preferential treatment. Yeah,
like you have to have a special badge on top of your press badge.
We wait in line for most panels, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I was there. So like Capcom made this announcement in front of their fans.
Did you spit out your donut when they announced
it? Yeah, I was... Yeah, so they showed a trailer, and then they actually played the game in front of us. And wow. So visually, it looks just like Street Fighter 4. Like, it's that art style. Uh-huh. And the Tekken fighters, I think it was, God, I don't know the Tekken fighters' names, but it's that guy with the spike hair.
Yeah.
The most famous Tekken fighter.
The covered boy.
Yeah. He was there, but kind of in a blocky Street Fighter 4 style.
I always like to call him Hibachi, even though that's not his name.
So it was Ryu versus that guy. Ryu called in Chun-Li. You can do very impressive team-up attacks.
Did they play the Jace Hall song when they called in Chun-Li?
Yeah, exactly.
Magic Star Chun-Li! And then she came out. Got more money than he has got sports.
And so they're going to be developing that alongside... Well, so this is the confusing part. There's Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and then also Tekken Cross Street Fighter. Capcom is developing the first. Namco is developing the last.
I like it because it's like there's two games... One is clearly based on one of the greatest fighting franchises of all time, and the other one is a Tekken game. So it's good. I think it's going to be interesting because I'm going to tell you which one's going to sell more than the other. Come on. If you buy a Tekken version of this game over a Street Fighter version of this game, you're a dumbass.
Put that on the box. The box quote.
Are they going to be the same game just with...
No, I would imagine
that...
Are
they be drastically different? Different art styles?
We don't know, but I would have to imagine that the Tekken one would be 3D character models, and it would play like Tekken. I mean, otherwise, why do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have to imagine when they made this agreement, right? Like, I'm sure that the Namco people were like, oh, Tekken's a better fighting game. And the Capcom guys were like, no, it's not. And then, you know, the only way this would work is if they're like, well, let's just give something for each of our fans, right?
That seems silly.
Because they're so very different.
They are different groups.
They're very different games. Yeah. One is really great and the other one's Tekken.
I liked Tekken 3 a lot back in the day. I thought, you know. That's fine. I haven't played it in a while, but you don't like Tekken at all? It has no redeeming value?
I'm not a huge... Well, it's better than Mortal Kombat, so...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Tekken's
okay. What
about
Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe?
No, that game's overrated. That game's not good at all. Mortal Kombat has never been good. No, Tekken's definitely better than that. Tekken's okay, but in comparison... I mean, Street Fighter 4 is so amazing. It blows away anything Tekken's ever had. But
I actually really want to play... I've been out of the fighting game for a long time, but I really want to play Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
That game's so awesome.
That game looks incredible.
It's so much fun.
I think that might be the one that gets me back into fighting games.
I think that's... I think the thing that I love about that game is you can either... There's, all kinds of crazy skill talk that... Like, if you talk to Mark Ryan, who's our guide's head, he can tell you all this crazy stuff about, triangle jumps and weird... I mean, he talks in, a different language than other human beings. So there's all this crazy technical stuff about counters and all kinds of air combos and all this crap, but you can just kind of play around with the game and still do awesome stuff and have a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just has the two levels, so you can be very casual about it and it looks amazing.
You can just mash buttons on there and pull off amazing stuff.
Yeah. And I gotta say, man, I would never in a million years think that Dante was gonna be fun to play, but he's easily the best character that's playable in the game so far.
Really?
He is so awesome. Oh yeah. Well, he also has the most moves they've ever had from any character ever in any Capcom fighting game, so there's that too. He's way overpowered, so I'm sure they'll tone him down a little bit. But he's just a blast to play. I love that game. I think it's great.
Notable panels for you guys on Saturdays?
I'm waiting for you to talk about your notable panel.
The one that I went to where that Greg Miller hosted.
There you go. DC Universe.
That
Online.
Was actually a lot of fun. See, this is why Greg did a good job hosting this panel. This is why I don't know anything about DC Universe. I'm not really interested in that game, but I thought it was a very entertaining panel. I had a good time.
We had Mark Hamill on it. That was good.
Mark Hamill was there.
We showed that awesome Blur trailer.
Yeah, so that you opened up the panel with another Blur trailer. A trailer for DC Universe Online, created by Blur. These are the guys that did that amazing Old Republic trailer a couple years ago.
I think this is better. Anybody want to weigh in?
I
think this is the
only
best
only work. Because I actually love the Star Wars universe. So okay. That's why.
Well, I love DC, so that's probably why I'm going that way.
But it is an awesome trailer.
Yeah,
I thought
better than
DC
the
one
second.
Was more
better than
impressive.
The second Old Republic.
Yeah, that one. The first one.
I'll say
one.
This because I mean I think that so they did the last two Old Republic ones for this E3 and the one before that. I didn't think they revealed that much about the stories. Just sort of Jedi's fighting.
Yeah, that's
me, it's
true.
Like this trailer, actually got me interested because it told the story
this
of
DC
the game.
One.
Yeah, okay. The DC one sets up the game so well.
Yeah, I'm
right? This is the trailer you think actually proceed starting the game.
Assuming you press start and this kicks off to give you a heads up on what you're doing and what's happening in the world, because we just did a Rewind Theater on it, so go watch it on IGN.com. But if you're not too lazy to do that, you just want to drive your car right now, drink your Dr. Pepper. it starts in the future. There's an invasion going on. There's a giant war. Metropolis is destroyed. All the heroes are fighting all the villains. And Wonder Woman dies. Hal Jordan dies. Batman Spoilers. Dies. Superman dies. The heroes get their asses handed to them. They get killed. And when Luthor kills Superman to cement the fact that they've won, Brainiac ships start rolling in to see that it was all, he totally played Luthor against everybody so that Brainiac could come in and take over the Earth without a problem. So Luthor travels back in time, gives superpowers to the world, hence why there's going to be all these thousands of new superheroes and supervillains when you start the game and create your characters.
How did Luthor do that?
Well, the whole thing is that Brainiac had been siphoning off powers of the people, like learning about it, to make himself so strong and his troops. So Luthor stole that data and went back in time to give it to the masses so that they'd have a fighting chance when Brainiac shows up.
I see. Cool.
Yeah.
That was a fun panel. Mark Hamill is fun. He's a total ham.
Yeah. But it works, because, he was up there with a bunch of developers, and Jim Lee, who's quiet, and Marv Wolfman, who writes stories and does... He was watching the trailer, he's like, I've been writing this forever, and I never knew it would look this good! Marv, that's not the game. That's not how the game looks. Mark Hamill was destroying that panel. He was great.
So Saturday night, Greg and I went to see Scott Pilgrim, and then
we went out to dinner.
Yeah, we did.
We hemmed and hawed about where to go.
We all got back together.
Wait. Let's knock some boots.
Oh, okay.
I have a knock and boots story to share.
There's a real song you have to sing.
I always do though.
If you'll permit me.
Yeah, please go.
Yes, please.
This is a good time to talk about this. We were going out to dinner. Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're just trying to figure out where to go. There's 300 restaurants to choose from.
Whoa.
Down in downtown San Diego. We were kind of like, there's this sushi place here. It's fine. I don't know. Let's go.
We walked in there. It was too crowded.
Go down to, maybe we shouldn't say what the restaurant we actually went to is.
Really?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, so we went to a restaurant and walked in and I saw the hostess there. I immediately thought the hostess was cute. She was totally my type.
Which was? you want to tell her? The librarian glasses.
Yeah. Cute little Mexican girl with glasses. That's does it for me. When we were setting up, why are you?
Because we shared a look. We shared a knowing look that was adorable.
Okay. Yeah, it was cute. It was very cute.
So when I was setting up, asking for our table, she was being very nice and, friendly. But that's her job, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't think too much of that.
You had some good repertoire. I was right next to you. Mm-hmm. This lasted...
I thought it was
30 seconds tops.
I thought it was good because she immediately asked you for your number right off the bat.
That's true. Of course, it was to call us when our table was ready.
Yeah.
But she called us immediately. And later on, jumping fast forward, she said she called us immediately because she thought it was cute. She calls us, gives our table, or we have our dinner, it's fine, we're having a beer there.
Actually, it really sucked. They didn't even give us silverware. We were so angry.
Yeah, the meal was terrible. I know that you're...
The food was fine, but no silverware.
So, now if you've been to a bar restaurant in San Diego, they don't give you silverware. You know what we're talking about.
That's true. But she was around the restaurant, and I was just kind of keeping an eye on her, because like I do with hot girls that are around me. And whenever I had the chance, I would make eyes at her. That's just that's what you do. So we were just leaving.
But that's it.
Yeah,
we leave the restaurant. You've talked to her for 30 seconds tops.
We're standing outside, waiting, basically arguing about debating where do we go next.
We're tired. We didn't know what we want to do. What is the video team doing? Where's Rich George?
And all of a sudden, she walks up to us.
Yeah.
She's right there. She's like, "What are you guys doing now? Where are you going next?"
She was like, "Who has the healthiest kidney?" Because I'd like to sell it on the black market.
We told her we didn't know. We were trying to figure it out. Does she have any recommendations? She said that she's getting off work soon, and her friends are going to this cool bar, and we should go with it. So, of course, I immediately want to do that, but we have to, talk. We have to.
And keep in mind, she's only talking to Damon, so everyone in the group knows what's up.
Oh, yeah.
So she said, talk amongst yourselves. Let me know what's up. So we got to figure this out. We're trying to, we don't really want to leave this area, but definitely want to hang out with this girl. Can we go get into this sci-fi party? Because
that would be
impressive if we could get into an industry party. Anyway, we decided to just hang out there, wait for her to get off work, have a beer. you know, hang out. She's meeting some friends. So we wait there for a while, and like I'm talking with her, talking with her friends, and
we were running good. I like to think that me, Hill, and Bromley were running good wingman game.
Oh yeah.
So how it was worked is we had two little bar tops, right? And so there was her and her two friends, then me, Hillary, and Bromley. So Damon could bounce back and forth. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to make it awkward to be with them all the time. He could come back. He didn't have to stay with us all the time.
Yeah.
We were doing exactly letting him feel it out, see how solid he was, because us three were exhausted. We just wanted to go die.
Yeah. Yeah, you were not going to come out, and that's fine.
That there was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for us in this one, so we were just there to support Damon.
But things are going well. She was having fun. She was a little tipsy. She was enjoying herself.
Yeah. Good.
And she was starting to get a little handsy with me.
Immediately. Yeah. Immediately there was a hand in the back. Yeah. Contact. This is good.
Which is very good. Very nice. I was enjoying that. So eventually you guys left. You guys were done.
Yeah.
You guys left.
We finished our beer.
Now I'm left alone. I'm all alone with this super hot girl and her friends. But it was fine. Her friends were totally cool, and we were having a good time. We had a couple of drinks there. So then we left there, and we ended up just going to a bar nearby and had a few more drinks. Her friends kind of split off, and she and I were together, and we were talking, getting to know one another. I was making her laugh. Things were going well. She started getting a little kissy-kissy. But when she found out that I was leaving the next night, she was very disappointed. And I was very disappointed. I was like, man, this sucks. I wish I could have met you, whatever. I've been here for like 5 days now.
Yeah.
So at the end of the night, she is too drunk to really like make any sort of decision. And we don't have anywhere to go because IGN is the only corporation on the planet that makes its employee or makes the editorial team share rooms or at going at events. So Bromley's in my room. I can't take her back there. She lives way out, you know, out of the city.
You call me.
Yeah.
It's 2:00. I've been asleep and I'm so out of it. I think it's the alarm clock. And I get up and I finally stumbly open the phone and talk to you. And I had no idea what you were trying to say. I thought you were just trying to tell me the story.
Yeah.
You needed help. You needed advice.
Because if you had been awake, I would have been like, can we get Bromley out of my room?
And I would have said, I told you this, but I mean, yeah, the answer would have been a definitive yes. Me and Hillary will pull the fire alarm to get him out of the room.
Yeah.
And if not, me and Hillary will vacate our room and give it to you. Like, it would have been.
And that's why you guys are great, great friends.
But the problem was you phrased it like you had a crazy situation.
I've got a crazy scheme I'm trying to enact.
It just didn't make any sense as tired as I was. I didn't know you needed help. I thought you were just trying to tell me the story.
But I felt bad that I'd woken you up. So I was like,
we need to create some sort of code so that the next time it's very clear.
He could have said, I have a KCPD on the line.
It's true. So anyway, we had nowhere to go. It was a tragic situation. We had to part ways. We had to say goodbye. She tried to give me her number, but she was too drunk to remember her number. So I put my number in her phone, and we hugged and kissed, and I told her she should call me tomorrow. So that's the night. That's the end of the night.
Important question. Good kisser?
Yeah.
Was it nice? Okay.
Yeah. This girl is smoking hot, man.
Real quick, too, you should give him the little dose. You didn't go right to bed, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I went back. Now it's like 2:30, 3 in the morning. I was feeling very moody. So I went back to my room and I got my headphones and I got my iPod and I went out and I walked the streets of San Diego and sat on the steps outside the hotel and listened to music. And I'm like, oh.
It's a good image. I like that.
Ah, nice. Did you hang out with that guy who was guarding that car that it was outside of our hotel?
What?
Somebody remember
that car?
Remember that car? It was some car.
They were like giving it away or something.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, they always had the security guard there.
Just had to sit outside all night, sat next to it. You could have hung out with him.
It's true. Oh man, let me tell you my troubles. Anyway, Sunday, we wake up another day.
You were very sad.
I wasn't sad.
You were freaked out. You're glum.
I was energized because I met this cool girl, but I was like, man, that sucks. You know,
you were pretty glum.
Was I glum? Yeah. I really wasn't.
You were not. It was clear. Remember, like, as soon as you got the text message from her,
yeah,
which I believe said "Good morning, smiley face."
Yes,
you were on cloud nine. You were flying above the Comic Con. So I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah. It was sort of like a real live action moment of like Mario getting the flower and getting big.
Yeah,
it was just like the good morning smile face. Like,
really? Bloop, 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 bloop. How many video games have you played?
Well, he was also throwing fireballs at people.
Mm.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So I knew she was working that day, so she's back downtown, like right in the area. And so yeah, she texted me, so I knew she was back there at work. So I knew I was like going to go by there and like just at least see her again and be like, I don't know what I would have said.
And it should be stressed that you guys had talked and she had said the feeling of attraction was mutual.
Yeah,
she had called you when you walked in. You told me that she said that when you walked in, she said, "Here comes my next boyfriend."
Mm-hmm.
That's what she told me.
All right.
So yeah,
that's a good line.
That's happening, listeners. That's a great line.
Super...
Change it to girlfriend if you're a boy. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Change it to whatever. I mean, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
And then say, "I'm from Kansas City," and see if you drop your panties.
Exactly.
You're down. We kind of go shopping for a little while on Sunday.
On the show floor, yeah.
And then we go to get lunch.
Yeah.
And you're still a little...
No, because I got the text before lunch.
Yeah.
But, I was
cool. But then you didn't know what to do. We're at lunch.
I at least had her number now. I at least had her number now, and I was going to go see her.
She was a bum that you were leaving that day.
Yeah,
right?
Well, she wasn't a bum. She was bummed.
She was bummed.
So I was like, man, I don't know. I guess I'll just go and see her and say, hey, let's be Facebook friends or something. I don't know. Hillary had a dynamite idea. He's like, Hillary is, let's break away from the story here. Hillary is kind of a cynical sort of
thank you
character. I mean, we love Hillary to death. You don't really think of him as like a
love guru,
as a romantic, yeah, though, do you? But man, Hillary had,
especially with all his stories.
Yeah, Hillary had great advice.
But all those stories are generated because
you were looking for.
I was looking for
in all the wrong places.
That's the only places you'll find it.
Hillary was like, dude, the romantic thing to do is just stay another night. Stay and hang out with this girl. Get another hotel room and, take her out and have a good time with her. And as soon as he said that, I was like, the wheels were turning in my head. And I was like, yeah, that is totally what I should do. So we walked back. We left this other restaurant and we walked back to her restaurant.
And I would say this. This is the reason why I think Southwest is the best airline to fly.
True.
Because
they make it so easy to change
your flight.
I was flying Southwest, so I was called. So I'm like, hey, what's it going to cost me to change my flight to tomorrow? And they said, nothing. It's like, okay, got it done.
You flew again above the Comic-Con.
So I walked back to her restaurant and she was working there. And she seemed happy to see me. And I talked to her. I was like, hey, what's up? You know, hope you got made it home okay.
This is the new stuff for me and Hillary.
Yeah.
So I've left Greg and Hillary at this time. I never saw them again in San Diego. And so she was like, so you're leaving?
We still haven't seen him.
So you're leaving right, like soon, right now, right? And I was like, oh, well, I'm supposed to, but I've got a crazy idea. What if I stay another night and, you can take me out and show me a good time and we'll hang out tonight. And she was down with that. She was like, it's a date. So I went and just... Yeah, that's what happened. I went and got another hotel room.
Where'd you guys go? Where'd you guys go on the night?
Happened? So we met her. She got off work like 7 or so. She went home and changed and then came back. I asked her not to go home and change because I was like, can we just skip to the part where I get to see you? But actually, she looked so hot when she came back. This girl is crazy hot. I can't tell you. Anyway, so she met up with me.
I don't think I've ever seen you this giddy.
It's true.
I think giddy is a perfect word for it, too.
So we met up and then either the listeners right now are having a great time hearing the story or they're bored out of their minds. I'm sorry.
If they're the 15%.
I would say that if you're talking about sort of baseline images of people, right? Like Greg is the loud, funny guy. I'm the cynical jerk. And like I would say like you're like the poon hound.
But I'm yes. No, that's not it. He nailed it.
I'm the poon hound?
You are.
Oh, man. That doesn't sound good at all.
That's what I love about the story because it's like you are so out of character of like how you normally present yourself on like the podcast and stuff or in life.
This whole story is very love struck.
It's so
romance,
sweet.
But and you drop in a few times when she's really hot.
But yeah, that's what. That's,
no, because I just want to make sure that
usually
it's clear.
Everybody's like make love like porn
people,
star.
People who can't, people who can't see you or maybe don't pick up like the tone in
your
voice.
You're bouncing around, you're happy, you're clapping your hands.
It's like, this isn't like, and it never struck me as like the oh man, I got to figure out a way to stay here so I can get laid tonight. Like it,
oh yeah, exactly.
Like it's like I would never have suggested you stay there if like you were just trying to get some. You can get that anywhere, like a handsome dude like you, but. Like, you genuinely seem to really, really like this girl. And I thought, it seems, to me, it's just like a very sweet story. Huh. So, like, I think it's just very, this is nothing about this, despite the fact that you barely know this girl, like, it just doesn't feel like
this is the
one night stand thing. It seems like you really like this girl, and it's very sweet that you wanted to spend, like, an extra day with her.
Yeah. Well, so at this point, you guys don't even know what happened now.
No, everything.
Turns out she breaks his heart.
She picks you up. She's super hot.
Yeah. She's looking great. Yeah, little Volkswagen buggy. Yeah.
Okay.
Looks very cute. She's got a bodyboard in the back seat. She likes a bodyboard. I think that's very cool. We went to Sushi Raw.
Where were we going to get in that one night?
Did we try to get in there?
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe it wasn't me.
I don't know. I've seen Sushi Raw there. Sorry.
It's fine. It's a derailing story. It's a clubby sushi place like Blowfish is here in SF. So everything's going fine, but I basically went on dates with two different girls. She is a very different girl when she's not drunk, apparently.
Yeah.
Almost, I would say borderline shy, even. So nothing of the really aggressive, affectionate stuff from the night before.
Okay.
No, like, no contact, no kissy-kissy, everything. I mean, like, we're, like, talking and everything's going well and, like, laughing and having a good time, but it was very different. After that, we walked down to Seaport Village. You know,
can I make a suggestion part of this? Also, I think that the first time, it starts off like a one-night stand. I mean, you meet a dude in a bar, you guys are going out drinking, she's one of their friends. Like, it's like a different attitude. I think when you go like, hey, I'm going to change my plans and stay an extra day, I think that totally changes, like, the outlook on what this is going to be.
Yeah.
So I think that can change the way that, so I think that she probably, like, I think that could make somebody put on the brakes a little bit and be like, well, I want to take this a little bit more seriously than just some
that
kind
could
of
be true
thing.
Yeah, but it was making me second guess, like, I couldn't tell if she was having a good time or not. I mean, it was very obvious to me that she was having a great time with me the night before, but now I was like, man, I don't know. She found it, like, we exchanged ages, and I'm 9 years older than she is, so I didn't know if she was like, if that, like, weirded her out. Turns out it didn't. But yeah, so I just wasn't really sure. I was like,
did you keep mentioning the Reagan administration?
So we went down to the Seaport Village, walked by the water. You know, it's very nice, very romantic. Went to another bar and had a drink with her friends. So we talked all night. But like I said, it was very, very different vibe from the previous night. Like, I don't know. Like, I need some. Like, I'm not an aggressive, like, guy when it comes to girls. Like, I kind of need, like, an okay sign, like a thumbs up sign to
proceed.
Yeah, but I wasn't really getting that from her. I mean, like, having cool conversation, we talked like 6 a.m. like we're listening to music and hanging out, playing Hot or Not. That's a great way, listeners, that's such a great way to break the ice with girls, get to know girls, ask them if they want to play Hot or Not, flip through a magazine, and then say, Hot or, you know, are these celebrities hot or not? That's great.
How many magazines you have in this place? We played from 2 to 6.
But, nothing really happened that night. I don't want to get into too much detail. Let me just say that nothing really happened.
Yeah, he cares about this girl.
Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. We ended up, like, getting, we went to sleep for a little bit. My flight was until, like, 6 the next day. Yeah. And then she had the day off. So we said, let's hang out all day tomorrow. She was cool with that. But so, didn't want her to, like, leave and then come back. So we went to bed, basically. And then we wake up.
Did you guys cuddle?
A little. But so first thing when we wake up, I address this, and I was like, I can't. So what's the matter with you?
I'm just thinking all the things, how you could address this.
Well, I like to get right to it. At this point, we spend just as much time talking about
that's
this
fine. As if we have the rest first of off, Comic-Con. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a knock in boots from some dumb reader. This is a Damon Hatfield story.
This isn't like, how do I get my girlfriend to agree to a threesome with Link?
I hope, not only am I excited to talk about this, but I hope that, you know, people can, learn from this experience. You know,
yeah. Everything. You address it right away.
I address it. I was like, you were very aggressive. You were very affectionate the first night. Not decidedly less so the second night. What's up with that? So she said basically, well, you know, if you had started something, I would have gone along with whatever you initiated. So that was good to know. And I don't know if that's like, that should be a lesson to me. Should I be more aggressive with women? Should I be?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's good to know.
I mean,
I need this kind of stuff.
If you're to the point where you're thinking of being aggressive, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to go, whoa, not yet.
Yeah.
And then you just roll on with what's happening.
That's true.
It's not like they're going to run away. You know?
Also, I'm going to say that a girl going up to a sober girl
going up to your hotel room
at 2 in the morning, I'm going to say that is considered a green light go sign. Most girls don't go, I'm going to go up to the hotel room with a stranger and I'm completely sober. That is like as conscious a decision as she could possibly make.
You're right. So, you're right. And looking back.
Perhaps maybe you should have called Greg at that instant. Yeah. I got a crisis. I don't know if this girl wants to have sex with me, despite the fact that she's sitting in my bed.
Yeah. Well, now that I have that information, there was plenty of
Now we need Lex Luthor's time machine so he can go back.
No, he solved it himself.
Oh,
like,
what?
There was plenty of making out that happened.
Oh, nice.
That was
good. Very awesome.
Yeah, so that was good. And then we spent the day together, had lunch together, went to Coronado Island, Coronado Beach.
I have to ask, the reaction was when she said, if you had initiated something, I'd be totally with it. Boom. Did you immediately like, did you just like pull off your clothes?
Yeah, pretty much. Michael's exploded off me.
Snaps.
Yeah, pretty much. But then we were plenty affectionate, like all during the rest of the day. So
cool.
It was cool.
Good.
Went to lunch, went to Coronado Island, hung out, got a little afternoon drink, and then she took me to the airport. I forgot to tell you that. So at our afternoon drink, we were playing Connect Four. And she was getting a little competitive with Connect Four. So she said if she could beat me on the next game. So let me tell you before that, she was already planning to come to San Francisco in October with some friends. She already had that plan. So I was like, that's cool. You know, I can see you in October. It's a long ways away. But still. So she was like, if I win this next game of Connect Four, you have to come to San Diego before October. And I was like, okay, but if I win, then you have to come to San Francisco before October. So we shook on it. She agreed to that bet. I kicked her ass.
Nice job.
Yeah.
You think she was sandbagging? She wanted to come to San Francisco?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, that's good. So anyway, she took me to the airport, you know, had a goodbye.
I'm going to say that everything was good. Better anyway. She lives with her parents.
Yeah.
It's not like you could go stay with her.
Yeah, I know. It's true. And no, she's not like a loser living with the parents. She's in school, works two jobs. This is a really cool girl.
She's 16. Cut her some
slack. Yeah, I know. She's only 16 years old. I am 25.
You like that? This works out to your benefit.
End of story.
Well done.
Have you talked to her since? You've been back about 24 hours?
There's been just a couple texts where, you know, Facebook friend accepting.
Gotcha. Sort of gotcha.
Thing. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, David.
There you go.
Well done.
We'll see where it goes from here. We'll see. I have no idea where it will go from here. She's a cool girl. I'm into her. Sucks she lives in another city. Well, you know.
It'll be fine.
We'll just see. I'll say meditate on this. I will.
Cool.
Before we bounce, we have another Knockin' Boots question, actually. A Comic-Con Knockin' Boots question.
Okay. Right?
So it's very appropriate.
Gotcha.
Also. This is from a female listener who wishes to remain anonymous.
It's not from her, is it?
No.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
She wishes to remain anonymous. She says,
I met this weird guy named Damon. He wouldn't have sex with me when I came up to his hotel room at 2 in the morning. Is something wrong with me?
He kept trying to booze himself up.
When he was super drunk, he kept saying, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. But when he was sober...
Yeah, I've seen.
When I was sober, he was like, oh, you wanna look at hot girls in magazines?
Oh, you're totally belittling my story. Okay, this is anonymous. I'm a 21-year-old female, and I recently met a guy at Comic-Con. We hooked up and managed to make it to third base. Before we left, we agreed to be friends on Facebook.
That's my favorite base.
Was this a mistake?
Wait.
What's the matter?
We managed to get to third base?
Mm-hmm.
She's the third base coach. She got way more. What is she worried about?
That's true. He's just the runner. He'll run it. He'll run
it. You tell him where to go, and it's
going
to go.
She told him to slide into third. That's her problem.
So she says, before we left, we agreed to be friends on Facebook. Was this a mistake? What is the proper etiquette for dealing with someone after you've had a fling with them? I find myself confused as to whether I should ignore him on Facebook, pretend like nothing sexual happened between us, or to be upfront and acknowledge it.
I don't know. Is it a fling if they didn't go all the way?
I'm not looking for a long-term relationship with this guy, especially since we live in different states, but I'm not opposed to seeing him again if we both go to the con next year. Please help. I don't think you should be Facebook friends with this guy. Like, why?
Why not?
What's the point?
That's what you do on Facebook. You meet somebody on Facebook.
But are you saying that every Facebook friend you have a stronger connection than two people that made it to third base?
No, but I mean,
come on.
No, that's true. That's
exactly
true.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you want to like...
I mean, she's not saying like, oh, I'm going to get a joint bank account with him.
Yeah, no.
I would say this much. I think it is kind of cool if they're both going to be single for the rest of their lives, which they sound like losers.
They hook up every year at Comic-Con.
But yeah, isn't that kind of cool? Like,
that's very romantic.
Like every year, like you kind of know, like, well, if anything, I'll see this guy again, and each year we'll just keep boning.
But do the reverse. Instead of going further with it, go back. Now next year it's only second base. And then the next year first. Then no base. Yeah. Not even in the ballpark.
No base.
So what should her conduct on Facebook with this guy be?
You add him and that's it. Yeah. And if he talks to you, or if you want to talk to him, say, what's up? And if you don't, if he talks to you, what?
I think
even maybe I don't want to be in a relationship, but I would like to hook up with you next time.
Yeah.
I would say, look, I mean, the beauty of Facebook is, right, if he gets creepy, like if you accept his friend request and he starts bugging you and posting on your wall and adding dumb stuff to your comments, then you can just unfriend him. What do you care? You don't have to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
So like if it turns out weird, just like go... Goodbye. And you can also set up rules for... You put him on a friends list that is like, he gets no access to anything.
There you go.
Like, make him earn his way up to see photos.
Make a friends list that's just called third basers and then put him in there and then restrict what third basers can see.
Maybe every year you should like kind of Black Widow it where you get one guy to almost get there and then stop him at third base and then Facebook friend him. So you get this slow...
ultimate insult.
This slow collection of desperate nerds who just couldn't get it with you. I like this.
All right, that's all the scoops from Comic-Con this year.
You missed it. What's the biggest one of all.
What's that?
Your story was good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Today I won my first eBay auction. I bought a Superboy.
It's not your first eBay auction.
I know, but
this is not Comic-Con related anymore.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
At Comic-Con, we wandered around all Saturday and Sunday looking for my Superboy statue that I've been hunting since junior year of high school when I saw it in France and didn't buy it because I wasn't sure if I had enough francs.
You could have had it for 10 francs. Now you paid what?
$100 Okay. $100 yeah. I think it was 170 francs, though, which was just a little bit more at the time than $170.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly. So I got a good deal.
You got it for cheaper than it was even then.
Yeah, and this is in original packaging, unopened. Okay. So it's a score. Thank you.
Well done.
It just happened right before GameScoop. We were waiting for the auction end.
Further proof that you never have to actually go to Comic-Con.
True.
When we were talking about how great our meet and greet was, we forgot to mention the next meet and greet.
Yes, yes.
It's happening here in San Francisco very soon, next week.
Next Wednesday, August 4th.
August 4th.
Starts at 4 o'clock.
Yes. At?
21st Amendment, which is right next to the IGN office.
It is.
Just go, so basically there's like sort of an upstairs part. It's very small, so get there early.
Mm-hmm.
There's an upstairs area for 21st Amendment. We'll be basically free drinks as long as our money lasts, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be doing like a DDR tournament. So it'll be three editors and one special lucky reader competing for a trophy. And basically, there'll be free drinks, and we're pretty much just staying there until we're out of money. And even then, we'll still hang out. So if you guys want to just hang with us, starts at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we're going to do the tournament. But then we'll stick around. Hopefully, we'll be able to give away some more IGN shirts and stuff like that, too.
This is way different from most of the meet and greets. This is completely sponsored by IGN.
Yeah.
Come suck up all their money.
It's true.
This is like PAX
East free drinks. There'll also be free Slim Jim Jack Links or whatever they're called.
Yeah. No, yeah,
it's actually sponsored by Jack Links because they're sponsored the tournament.
They might have Sasquatch there, isn't that what I heard?
The Sasquatch will not be there, but the statue is a Sasquatch statue.
Hmm.
Okay. Is it like the one from Sky Mall?
I have no idea.
So, any GameScoop listeners, IGN fans in the Bay Area, make sure you're there August 4th, next Wednesday, right?
Or if you know you are a flight attendant and you can,
yes, it's true, yeah,
fly in whenever you like.
Yeah, Devin,
we'll see you there, Devin.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
We'll see you there, Matt Jones.
Do you have a question, Craig?
No, I have. I find if I've forgotten something and I don't make a point to try to remember, I'll forget again.
I actually know that. I just make you say that every podcast I'm on with you.
That's cool. Okay. Anyways, I'll put my hand down because I'm going to answer now. Sunday, I went to the Smallville panel, and I got up early to go to it, even though we had been out the night before having fun. And the line was ridiculous, way too long. Couldn't get in, and I was very heartbroken. I texted Rich George trying to get him to pull some strings. He had Eric Goldman on the inside. They couldn't get me inside. I tweeted about how heartbroken I was and how I wouldn't work. IGN reader Christina, I believe Christina Pham, her last name's Pham for sure, Christina Pham, I believe, got me in by saying I could cut into line with her. But even when I couldn't find her in line, I explained to the security guard I was looking for my quote-unquote girlfriend and showed him Christina's tweet, and he just let me get in line to go find her inside the auditorium. So
Christina, technically, for a brief period of time, you're Greg Miller's girlfriend.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You're now an ex-girlfriend of Greg Miller. Join the ranks.
Nice. All right, that's all the scoops we have for you, Comic-Con.
Can't wait till we find out her name was Rebecca.
I know.
No, it was either Christina or Christina. I just called her Fam all the time.
All right.
So Fam, help me out.
This is a special Comic-Con edition of GameScoop, so we'll still have your regularly scheduled GameScoop this Friday. So you
cool
get extra scoops this week. Thank you, Hill, and thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Damon.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Come get some. Beware,
IGN GameScoop.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.